Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
We're coming up on Midway, the movie Midway, Roland Emmerich's Midway. And I thought, look, we're probably going to get around to Pearl Harbor at some point, so let's just do it now.
Let's transition to full dad, just talk about movies that are about war. Here we go.
Very specific moments during World War II, though.
That's right, yeah.
There's only a handful that most dads want to see. It's this. It's Normandy. It's that bit of the sailor kissing the lady.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, my God. The primo war content.
You know it is. Anyway, if you give this video a like, that would help out greatly. Because, yeah, we are talking about Michael Bay's Titanic. Titanic in the sense that he tried to make his version of Titanic. And also,
it's titanically long, yeah, this
and
movie.
And it's a Titanic fuck-up in a lot of ways.
Well, I've never actually seen Titanic, but I, going into this... I haven't.
I'm going to be that guy for a second.
Yeah, of course, here we go.
Oh my God, Mason, I can't believe you didn't see Titanic. If you're typing that, you don't have to now.
Because I'm that guy now. Appreciate that. Thank you, James. I just never got around to it. Anyway, and also I think when it first came out, it was on two DVDs.
Okay, right.
It was one of the two. You had to switch them.
Yeah, right, okay.
Back in the day. Anyway, I'm not going through that.
No.
Too old. Anyway, I've not seen it all the way through. I've seen snippets. It doesn't matter.
Sure, you get the references.
I get the references, but I also get the reference that this is clearly, this is Michael Bay, I assume, and his producers going, that movie made a lot of money and got a lot of Oscars. We can do this. Newsflash, they can't do this. It feels like it's Oscar bait. This is an attempt at Oscar bait by a man who does not know how that works.
It's funny, though, because you mentioned Oscars. This is the only Michael Bay film to ever win an Oscar.
Yes.
So he was riding high coming off the back of this.
But also...
Do you want to know what it was for, though?
Yeah, cinematography?
Sound editing. So probably something he didn't have a massive hand in,
sure,
I'd imagine.
Right. Uh-huh.
But he'll take it.
But also this movie... won a Razzie, I think, or at least one Razzie. More than one Razzie? Several Razzies.
I'd imagine so, yeah.
Do
you win Razzies, or are you kind of like branded like a cow would be?
Sure.
Does that work?
A little of both, I think.
Sure.
But I think maybe this is maybe the first movie to win both in the same year.
Incredible.
Yeah, right.
There must be another example of that, though. Probably Crash.
Crash. yeah.
The thing about this is, what bothers me about this film... Look, also, I don't think it's the worst movie ever made. There's a lot of things
I
take issue with. But it's so saccharine and earnest, it's sickening in points.
It really is, yeah. I feel like maybe even Michael Bay sent somebody out to watch Titanic and then write down all the key elements of Titanic and then just like, check
love
them
story,
off.
Love story, sinking boat, love triangle. Mm-hmm. And he went, I can do a love
poor
triangle.
Poor kid triumphs? Is that what happens in...
Sure.
And then falls off a boat? Yeah, that happens, right?
That happens, that's correct. Yeah. You have seen Titanic.
There's a moment near a boat and then there's a love situation on a boat and then they're on a little elevator thing and then it falls into the water.
It all happens.
Yeah.
It's all in both. But the thing is, the cast in this is incredible.
Do you mind
if I rattle some of these off?
I'll rattle some off also.
Ben Affleck.
Dan Aykroyd.
That's very good. Jennifer Garner, where they met actually. Dan Aykroyd and Jennifer Garner. That's where they met.
Them. Wow. They shared a Crystal Head vodka. Okay. They're not... That's interesting because they're not the...
the love
They're not the love interests of one another.
No, she kind of plays a minor role. Kate Beckinsale.
Oh, that's who that is.
Josh Hartnett.
Mm. They're all looking so young and thin and glossy. Dan Aykroyd especially.
Yeah, that's right. You know it's a Michael Bay film because everybody has that same spray tan.
Yeah.
Like the ghostly white teeth, just blinding, and the rich golden skin.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Cuba Gooding Jr.
Mm.
Michael Shannon.
Yeah.
Mako.
Pre-General Zod.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And other movies he's been in.
Yeah, and better movies.
Uh-huh.
Spud from Trainspotting.
Mm-hmm.
Alec Baldwin.
Yes.
Sean Gunn, apparently, as a traction sailor. I couldn't find him in the movie, but he's in it.
Oh, he's a tank tread.
Okay, very good.
They CGI'd him in.
There's so many hot names in this.
Oh my God, A-listers are plenty.
If we're talking the story, it's Pearl Harbor, basically, but there's a bunch of historical inaccuracies, which I'll get to.
What I wanted to get to first is that this movie felt incredibly Michael Bay-y to me.
Yeah.
Because obviously it's a true historical event. America especially would say, well, it didn't go well. To put it mildly, this did not go well for a lot of people.
Yeah, they were sucker punched, essentially.
It was a huge tragedy for a lot of people, but I feel like at some point he went, how about Pearl Harbor? What if we won, though? And they went, that's a bridge too far in terms of accuracy. And yeah. He went, all right, what about after that we win one?
And they're like, all right.
All right, we'll put a bit at the end where we win one.
And I think that's what really hurts this film for me, because after the Pearl Harbor attack, which is quite spectacular, like visually, pretty
good.
And
for a Michael Bay movie, a lot of this action made sense.
You can see what's happening.
You can see what's happening. You know where most of the people are at the time.
But there's a full hour after it.
Yeah.
Happens.
Yeah.
They really bad boys to it, which is another Michael Bay film. But it really drags. And it's one of those things where, like, you don't really need to show any of this because we know they won.
Speaking of bad boys, I feel like in the Ben Affleck character, Michael Bay has decided to encapsulate both the Will Smith and Martin Lawrence characters.
Sure.
Because he is handsome and capable and strong and brave, but also he's getting a needle in his butt and he's falling over, you know? Just put them together and what do you get? You get a real handsome lunkhead.
That's not incorrect. I love how he goes over to England to fight against the Nazis, and the leader of that squadron is just the most British sooty-faced, like tea-sipping, scarf-wearing English guy you've ever seen.
He's a leather-bound book in human form.
He really
is.
And it's got one of those lines in it that just makes me go, oh, my God. Where he says something like, if there are many more of you back home with you, God help anyone who goes to war with America. It's like, oh, my God. Like, it's true.
Yeah.
Like, they made a massive mistake bringing America into World War II.
For sure.
It's a little bit on the nose to be like, you're a hero, Ben Affleck, so that must mean everybody
is also a hero in America.
A hero,
is my favorite line from Pearl Harbor.
Here we go.
That I wrote down. This is after Ben Affleck's character is shot down and everyone thinks he's dead.
Or he's shot in the butt with a needle?
No, he's shot down by the enemy.
Oh, yes, very
in
good.
In a plane.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks he's dead. And then Kate Beckinsale, the love of his life, receives some mail from him posthumously. And there's a line where another character says, you know how long it takes mail to get here. Just to make it clear to us, the viewer, who is an idiot, that it's not ghost Ben Affleck sending these letters.
No.
He sent them before he died.
Yeah, that's right.
And they're just getting here. Because you know how long it takes the mail to get
here. I know, a long time.
Because otherwise I'd be scratching my head like, you see.
Doesn't even make anything.
But he's dead, but some maybe ghost mail.
Zombies?
Yeah, ghost post.
Zombie movie?
It's ghost post.
Ghost post, yeah. We talked about the action, though. There's some stuff in here. For 2001, it's incredible. The moment, the first ship that gets hit, you see the bomb drop through it.
Yes.
And the way it rises and buckles and breaks.
Yeah,
It's incredible. Like, it's a mostly CGI shot. Like, a lot of the stuff they used in, like, real ships, apparently a lot of it, it's just modern-day warships that they just went, good enough. No one's going to notice.
They didn't really bother to.
They just put some flags on them.
No one's going to notice if we blow them up, is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
I'm going to borrow these from the US military and we're going to blow them up. And we're going to bring them back and be like, it was like this when we got them.
But it does really feel like...
That'll buff out.
Yeah, definitely. It does really feel like in the destruction moment that this is like Titanic 2. You know, there's a moment where an explosion goes off and like four guys hit a propeller. I'm sure you remember the bit from Titanic where a single guy hits a propeller.
It's like I was there.
It's like you were there, but it's just like, well, what if four men hit a propeller at once?
Yeah, right.
After an explosion.
And there's that moment initially where, like, the first torpedo hits the first ship and, like, there's two guys just hanging off the side of the ship and they just disintegrate.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, it's spectacular, but it's also, it feels really like we're really reveling in, like,
yeah,
a horrible thing. Like, it looks amazing. It looks beautiful and it looks
glossy
and
tan and fun in the sun
and like visceral and powerful. But it's also,
it's a
real people dying.
Real people died. Yeah. Exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah. But I guess the same could be said for Titanic. But it felt like there was more of reverence associated with that film than there was this. And I guess also that was further back. So people are like, yeah, we don't really remember that. There was no footage. We don't.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't really know. So one of my favorite lines, if we're talking favorite lines in this, is there's a soldier who gets taken to Kate Beckinsale. Wait, when he's like, oh, am I going to die? Am I going to die? And she's like, you're going to be fine. And then she draws a big F on his head and goes, this guy's going to die. You just give him some morphine. And he's right there. Yeah. Like, he's still standing in front of him.
And I'm pretty sure he's deaf. Oh. Nope. All right then.
He's very much not. What did you think of the love story element of this? It's the Josh Hartnett.
Oh, it's a triangle,
Ben Affleck,
isn't it? Yeah.
Kate Beckinsale. Mm. Who do you want her to end up with? Who do you want them to end up with? Each other? Potentially.
Oh, maybe.
I feel like they're glossy enough to be together.
Yeah, maybe this could be some sort of post-World War II throuple. You know what I mean?
Love it.
That'd
yeah.
be nice, yeah.
Yeah, did you buy any of that situation? I think there is definitely some charm to those characters. And I think a lot of that's probably down to the acting.
Yeah,
you know, like
for sure.
When I see them on screen, I'm not like,
yuck,
these people. Yeah,
right.
You know, then they seem nice and fun and they're just having a go at it.
But that's just beautiful people doing beautiful people stuff. What you want is you want at least one massive Argo in there.
Oh, there's a few, I would say, yeah.
I mean, in the...
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Main three.
Oh, in the main three.
The main three, and then you'd be like, well, one of them has to have a really good personality.
Yeah, that's probably a very, very good point. But apparently people didn't like the love story at the time.
Is this meant to mirror the Titanic love story where I know there's DiCaprio.
Yes.
And there's Winslet.
Yes.
And there's Billy Zane.
That's right. I guess so, but again, like...
But he's a villain.
He's a villain, exactly.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. In a way, when you steal your best friend's girl, aren't you... a villain of the caliber of Billy Zane.
Even if they're presumed dead. But that letter arrived, so he should have known that he was still alive.
That's right. Or a ghost.
Yeah. At the time, critics were like, this love story sucks. But Michael Bay has framed it as, well, it's like a 1940s love serial story kind of situation. That's why, like, the champagne cork goes off and hits Ben Affleck in the nose.
Yeah, it's a bit slapsticky.
Yeah, I don't think it's the worst thing in this movie. I'm like, yeah, I've seen worse love stories than this.
Do we want to hear some more quotes from Michael Bay about the production of the movie? This isn't actually from Michael Bay. This is from K.C. Hodenfield, who was he's assistant director. He's been a producer on a sort of Transformers movies and things like that.
Love it.
So speaking of Michael Bay saying that this is meant to be, you know, it's like a serial, like a 40 serial kind of movie. According to KC, this was going to be like a classic movie, according to Michael Bay. The first day we started shooting, so day one, he wasn't using his fast-moving, fast cuts, low shots, his bag of tricks, and it was like watching an Italian speak without his hands. By lunchtime, we're making a Michael Bay movie in the Michael Bay style. So he didn't even last a day. He's like, this is going to be a classic movie, bloody 1930s, black and white.
Yeah.
You know, but by after lunch, he's like, no, we're just going to do...
Let's get everybody get out of the car and we'll film the
film. Do a helicopter shot around it. Yeah, exactly. But that's...
So I didn't get that sense that it was ever that kind of movie.
Well, maybe in another lifetime. But so that's according to his assistant director. Mm. According to Michael Bay himself, post the release of this movie, he actually said, "I don't change my style for anybody. Pussies do that." So who's to believe?
Who is to be believed?
Who's shall we believe?
Oh, look, the KC guy probably.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. That's the first I've heard of him, but probably that guy, I'd imagine.
Yep.
Now, this movie, though, it's not without its troubles. For one, everybody hates this movie in general. There's some that regard it as a guilty pleasure. I would say you could definitely fit it into that category. First of all, guilty pleasure is not something I believe in. You can just like what you
just
want.
Just like what
whatever,
you like, yeah.
The other thing is, it was made for $149 million, which was the highest amount given to a film up front for it to be made. It's actually a Disney production as well, believe it or not. But it only made $449 million, which is good, but they were like... We'll do $2 billion out of this. Like,
oh, Titanic, they were like, we'll do Titanic money, yeah.
And the total amount of money spent on this production and promotion roughly equaled the amount of damage caused in the actual Pearl Harbor attack.
No.
I mean, adjusted for inflation, obviously not. But but yeah, those things are quite similar.
Now imagine going back in time and telling all the brave soldiers that lost their lives there. That's fun fact.
Yeah,
huh?
That's it. Michael Bay also became frustrated with Josh Hartnett's serious approach to acting, if you can believe such a thing. So much so that when he caught him smiling on film, he said, "Send that to ILM and tell them to copy and paste it."
Oh.
Brilliant. And you were talking about before. There was actually a Hawaiian priest who blessed the crew, a practice that is recommended, you know, by the locals to be like, you know, this is a sign of good luck and fortune, and it's, you know, it's a sign of respect.
Okay, this was going to happen, you're saying.
Well, it did happen. The ceremony took place on the first day of principal photography and lasted over 4 hours, much to the chagrin of Michael Bay, who'd been told it was only going to take 15 to 20 minutes. So can you imagine? That probably, doubt, led to his like, okay, we're going to take this slow, and we're going to, you know, I'm not going to use any of my bag of tricks. That he's like, 4 hour ceremony. Nah, I'm just doing what I want to do.
This movie's so long.
Yeah.
I went into this going, well, Michael Bay movies, they're long.
Yeah.
3 hours is too long.
I think, though, because it's broken up into parts, it doesn't feel so much like one of the bad Transformers movies, which
is
most
of them. I guess that's probably true, yeah.
Because when it's just jagged metal rolling on top of each other and someone going, Optimus!
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot. It gets a lot, you know what I mean?
Mm.
But the battle sequence is very much like, this is like the 40-minute section of
well,
this
that's
movie,
true.
Yeah.
But also, who's out there going like, today I'm just going to watch the 40-minute battle sequence from Pearl Harbor?
Yeah.
Kind of creeps that.
I bet some people do.
Mm.
I mean, again, it's visually.
Sure.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
This has got one of those things that it really bothers me about World War II, and that's that...
They blow up all those Nazis? Yeah, I thought so.
No, I'm okay with that.
It's not where, what you said off air.
Where Josh Hartnett says the line, I think World War II just started. Even though this movie set in 1941 and World War II had been going for 2 years up to that point.
You're saying that's way too America-centric. It's not World War II until the Americans get involved.
I mean, again, they were a vital component of winning the war. Probably the most vital component in the end. But just to be like, none of that shit counts.
Yeah.
That happened prior to this. This is where it happens. All right, I got some historical inaccuracies here. Let me just say up top, I didn't get them all. So don't fucking at me with your specifics about Pearl Harbor. I just picked some interesting ones, all right?
Okay.
That includes you too, Mason.
All the interesting ones.
That's right.
Which are all the facts.
That's right. Here we go. The scene that shows the Japanese planes attacking the hospital caused a great uproar, both in Japan and among Pearl Harbor veterans, because that never happened.
Yeah, I believe that's true. Like, that maybe, I think the Japanese didn't target any civilians. They only killed a couple of people by accident, I think.
That's right. And Michael Bay kind of put it down to, well, this kind of raises the stakes of this situation by adding this horrible...
By making Japanese people eat more evil.
Yes, than this event already was. Japanese journalists were also extremely offended by the fact that the army is shown having meetings outside. Meeting outsides are considered to be uncivilized and barbaric in Japan. Oh. I say kick your shoes off, roll in the grass, have a meeting out there, though.
That's right.
That inaccuracy I will let slide.
Absolutely plan your tactics for the destruction of the United States over a game of hacky sack. You
absolutely,
know what I mean?
Absolutely, yeah. Now, there's a lot of stuff in this that's like, hey, that plane wasn't around then. Like the crop duster, for example, you couldn't get it for home use until like much later than it appears in the film and things like that. So things like some characters were smoking Marlboro Lights in the film, Dan Aykroyd wearing rimless glasses. These things weren't available in the 1940s, if you can believe that.
That rocket pack the Rocketeer was wearing.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Not even a real thing, it turns out.
Did I fall asleep? I must have fallen asleep through that bit.
Oh my God, he rocketeers so many people. He fights so many blimps.
It was illegal for American citizens to fight for another country while the US remained neutral on penalty of losing their citizenship.
Oh, but so he just goes right over.
He just wants
the
to get in
Kingdom.
The action, yeah. All the radio stuff is wrong, like the types of radios. I'm not going to get into the specifics. I read it and I went, I'm not even going to touch that.
How do you feel about the news announcer's voice in this movie?
I don't even remember.
He's like, hello. You know, one of those
then
guys.
That's accurate,
that's
guess.
Absolutely accurate, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah.
A 1950s speedboat and a nuclear-powered submarine, which shows up in the Japanese fleet. That happened before nuclear power was a reality.
And the 1940s, I'm pretty sure, happened before the 1950s. So
that's so true. Mm. A historian, Nicholas Evan Sarantak, said, there was a US naval base in Hawaii. It was called Pearl Harbor. The Japanese did attack with planes on December 7th.
Checks out so far.
Other than that, the movie is bad history. But I think this is a good place to kind of wrap things up, because according to Michael Bay, after the film came out, he got a letter from Daniel Martinez, the world's foremost expert on Pearl Harbor and the director of the Pearl Harbor Museum. And in the letter...
Oh, I wonder what he's got to say.
Well, in the letter, Bay says that Martinez wrote, you got the essence of what happened right. And there's a lot of like, reading through the trivia, there's a lot of like, well, I got a letter and they said that actually I did a really good job. You know what? I spoke to some fans and they were there and they
some
also
fans
said...
Of war.
Yeah, they said I did a really good job. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Can we see the letters, Michael Bay?
Actually, they're at my girlfriend's house in Canada.
No.
My Canadian girlfriend, you have a better, but we've been going steady since high school.
What's she do for a job?
She's a model, international.
It's really great. So I could probably like find her on the internet or something.
Well, this was obviously pre kind of internet, and yeah, she does right. A lot of her work in Dubai and things like that.
Yeah,
a lot of jet
sure.
Setting back and forth.
Busy. Okay. All right.
She takes the letters with her, which is
something to read. Yeah, something to read on the plane. Exactly, yeah, no, yeah. I understand. Sure.
All in all, they made this, didn't they?
Absolutely, mate. No one can deny that they made this movie.
As much as we'd like to. Yeah, I there are better World War II films. I mean, you could go like you're Saving Private Ryan, obviously. Mm-hmm. You could go Wind Talkers with Nicolas Cage. Don't go that one. It's a bad one. The Thin
Red... You could go Overlord.
You could, yeah, I would say. So at least it just goes whatever.
Yeah,
Overlord
right.
Knows exactly what it is.
No, that's a historical epic.
Yeah.
It says so at the start.
Something that I've definitely come around on that I saw when I was young and then watched more recently is The Thin Red Line, which is like an excellent depiction of World War II and like the mental struggle of, you know, being in this conflict. So I'd say if you want to watch an action-packed, non-stop entertainment roller coaster, Wind
Great
Talkers,
Escape.
Great Escape. But if you know, if you want to watch the clip of the battle of Pearl Harbor, you can do it on YouTube as well. You just watch that
probably
clip.
On movie clips trailers.
You know it is. Anyways, this has been Caravan of Garbage. Believe it or not, we do this every week, don't
do
we?
Do.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. And there's also videos here every Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday. And in addition to that, we have a podcast called The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. Do you want to hint about what's in Caravan of Garbage next week?
Yes.
Here it is. I don't know what it is yet. For the audio version, I don't know what goes in here.
Are you going to tell me?
I don't know. Again, I don't know.
Would you tell me now?
I have to look at my list. I don't have it in front of me.
Is your girlfriend in Canada have the list?
Yeah, that's right.
Is that
yeah.
What's going on there?
Anyways, I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter.
Oh, I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
We appreciate you enduring this with us.
We love you.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right.
As a friend or real?
Romantically, no, all of them.
And it's a triangle.
Only if you give a like.
Yeah, well, that's fair.
Oh, we hate your guts. Get out of here.
Goodbye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.